It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing good, Scotty. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We are out and about today. We are at one of my favorite places on the planet. It is Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street. Beautiful showroom, beautiful vehicles. And right now, that QX80.
Right here in front of us.
I got nine of them in stock right now.
You got nine QX80s?
Yeah. Well, not me personally, but they do.
I was going to say, Bountiful's treating you well then.
Okay, calm down.
One for each of your kids and the neighbors.
You get an 80. You get an 80.
Everybody. This white one in front of me is just gorgeous.
Just beautiful. Absolutely.
This one here too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's an 80 as well. So you come by, check them out. They've got the forever warranty attached. You get 0% up to 60 months on all new Infinities as well.
Scotty, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, you know, this beautiful, drizzly, kind of cold, wet morning, I'll take it. I love it.
This brings out the Northern European and the two of us.
It does. And I'm hoping that the snow is continuing to fall up in the mountains. I just want it to get deep and powdery because, you know, I love to cut powder on a snowboard. Johnny looks a young
I'm going to go out there and do a little shredding.
And you're going to shred the gnar.
Yeah. Could you picture the two of us on the side of a mountain with a snowboard attached to our legs?
Skis, maybe. Snowboard, not so much.
Skis, I do ski once or twice a year. The wife and I will get up and we'll hit those chairlifts. They're romantic. And you know,
probably just want to see your wife in ski gear.
I do. I love the snow bunny look. Always have.
Yeah.
It's adorable. You know, you get the fake furs and all that kind of stuff. And yeah.
You're nothing but predictable.
Get her a cup of hot chocolate. Get to hold her hand. Keep her warm. Yeah, I like that.
My guy's in love with love.
I am in love with love. I love love. It's always been my favorite. So anytime I can get out on the mountains, I'm ready.
Busy show. The big question, is he or isn't he going to show up? It's a Thursday, which means it's Frank Dolce day.
Well, right now the odds are in, and it's 10 to 1 on he is. So I would say that the odds definitely favor him not coming.
Did he promise pizza?
He did promise pizza last week. And if he brings it, it's just going to be him and Johnny eating it.
Oh boy.
Cuz you and I are stalwart.
Yes, we are.
Ever pointed north.
I had my cheat meal with that grilled cheeseburger from Sonic.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now it's going to be another 2 or 3 weeks.
That long?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, when we get back down to where we, you know, a little bit more of a reasonable level, then maybe we'll ramp that up to once a week.
Once a week?
I don't know. Jake, you've been killing it. When do you let yourself get a little loose, or do you? We're just talking about the diet, and Jake's lost. What are you up, like 50, 60 pounds now?
No, 48 as of yesterday.
See, there you go. So do you, is there a time where you let yourself get a little loose, like once a week or once every 2 or 3 weeks?
We've kind of gotten to that point where it's about like once a week. You know how The Rock, I don't know if you guys follow The Rock on Instagram. He is famous for his cheat meals. I've kind of followed that. He has one cheat meal a week that he goes all out, and that's kind of what I've followed.
So, like, you probably have a cheat meal. Hans and I would have, like, a cheat event, you know? Like, we're not, like...
Invite the neighborhood?
No, okay. I'm just saying, a cheat meal would be like, hey, you know, here's three slices of pizza or something like that. Whereas you and I might be like, all right, I will take a large sausage, a large pepperoni, yeah.
Garlic knots with Alfredo dipping sauce.
Yes. Yeah. And throw a salad in there.
And throw fully, a salad in there just to balance things out.
You know,
with extra ranch.
The only time I really drink root beer is when I'm eating pizza.
That's so where I grew up in Declo, we go to the big town, Burley.
Yeah.
And there was and it's still there, one of the very few remaining dine-in Pizza Huts. You get the red cups, and you're right. Like, that was kind of a tradition. You get your root beer. They give you a big pitcher of root beer.
Yeah.
And you enjoy your pizza.
A little mug root beer with pizza. I can sometimes do mug root beer with a burger, but it doesn't go with a burger like it goes with pizza.
Just goes with pizza. You are spot on that one.
And then every once in a while through Halloween, the homemade root beer for Halloween and
with the dry ice in there. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Yeah. Homemade root beer is typically always overrated.
100%.
You watch it bubbling, and then you're like, you see the
that
root
looks
beer
good.
Additives, and you're like, oh, man, that's going to be freezing cold and just perfect. And then you drink it, you're like, that's flat and disgusting.
Yeah. It's a lot like watching baseball. It's like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then you sit down, you're like,
this is really
it's still
boring and lame.
I'm kidding. I like playoff baseball, but that's
but typically when you drink Halloween root beer, it's like sucking on one of those barrel candies. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. I love those.
You love those? But that's what it tastes like.
Yeah, it does taste like that.
Just kind of flat and like, all right. Let's
maybe that's the potential grandpa coming out of me.
This is where we diverge, gentlemen. I cannot stand those candies.
The root beer barrels?
No, thank you.
Scotty, you like them, huh?
I actually like them.
I like the wax Coca-Cola bottles, you know, those wax bottles. I like those, but I'm maybe.
How about a Werther if we're talking old man candy?
I like the soft Werther. I don't like the hard.
Werther's more in my wheelhouse right there.
Yeah, I got to be able to chew into that. Hard candy is not my
same
favorite.
I'm with you.
Saltwater taffy? Now we got a problem. I can get real ugly with saltwater taffy.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Wrappers all around me. It's an embarrassment. If I get a bag of fresh saltwater taffy, it's an embarrassment.
And it's soft? Not the stuff that's going to break a tooth or two?
Yeah. No, with the sharp edges that cut into your gum.
You complain about Cap'n Crunch. There's nothing worse than some saltwater taffy gone dry.
Nothing worse, man.
But you still have to work it down, though. All right, Hans and Scotty, a lot to get to on the program today. As we mentioned, a U preview show coming up today at noon. So let's get to it. Starting lineup right now here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, it is your starting lineup right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone, brought to you by good friends at Peach Windows and Doors. Now's the time to get it taken care of, and let's get you going with those new door elements. Whether you need doors, windows, they are the place to go.
Yeah, and if you're looking to build and you've got a closing date in mind, you probably better call Peach Windows and Doors right now because they're out a little bit. It's not undoable, but they're out a little bit. So give them a little bit of heads up.
801-566-1255. That's 801-566-1255. You sound like a guy that's talked to Peach Windows.
We are currently in the process of talking with Peach Window and Doors.
So nice.
We're looking more on the door end with them.
I like it.
But, Scotty, yesterday we had a really good Cougar preview show and really got into depth with this Baylor-BYU matchup. And, you know, we talked about the potential quarterback situation going into this Baylor game. Well, I continue to believe that it's going to be Jaren Hall. We said it yesterday. I feel even better about it today. I think that Jaren Hall will be your starting quarterback against Baylor. So I went back because I had some questions yesterday about Jaren Hall's deep ball.
Okay.
Remember we were talking about this yesterday?
Absolutely.
So there was a drive in the second half where there were some intermediate passes down the field that went incomplete. But upon further review, is there a something called upon further review? What is that?
Upon further review.
What is that? Is that a podcast or something?
Well, it used to be what the refs would say after they went into the review board. Upon further review.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
So upon further review, Scotty, he hit some deep balls and some deep shots that actually give me more belief that Jaren is okay, better than expected. We talked yesterday about if Baylor Romney was healthy and available, which neither you nor I expect that to be the case, maybe you throw Baylor Romney back there because you feel more comfortable with him gunning around a little bit. Outside of that drive in the second half, I actually saw shots down the field to Romney, a couple to Puka Nacua. I saw that deeper ball to Sampson. I think that ball went over 20 yards through the air. And there were also a couple balls that were thrown that forced PI calls that were pretty accurate downfield throws that forced Boise State to kind of lock up with the BYU receiver. So I actually saw enough that I feel good about Jaren Hall and what he's going to be able to do against Baylor. But Baylor brings a very healthy passing defense.
This is my concern with Jaren Hall. If Jaren Hall is 100% healthy, I'm not overly concerned about accuracy. I'm not overly concerned about what he does offensively. My only concern is, can he run the full gambit of an offensive set that Aaron Roderick wants to run with him being a little banged up? Because when you got Conover, and I'm sure he's going to be great eventually, but he did not look good against Utah State in that second half. And granted, I know he got thrown to the Wolves and wasn't expected to go, but there was some struggles with those three straight three and outs to start that second half. And while you might be able to get away with that when you had a lead against Utah State, I don't think you're going to be able to get away with that against Baylor. So I think Aaron Roderick, and it's just human nature. You want to protect your guy, so that might affect your play calling. And then also his ability to turn on a football, his ability to throw the ball down the field, because there were some great throws. That throw to Sampson Nacua for a touchdown, beautiful throw, dropped it right in the bucket. But as the game went on, it seemed like the accuracy kind of left him a little bit. And I don't know if that was because of the rain. I don't know if that was because the pain started to flare up with the injury. I don't know what the case is. But if it is because of the injury, I am a little concerned about him being able to execute at a high level if he's not 100%. If he's healthy and he's, 95%, I have no concern about him going out there and playing quarterback at a high level. Against Baylor. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I don't think if they lose, I don't think it's going to be because of Jaren Hall. But I am concerned if he's 70, 75% and he tries to throw that deep ball and that's flaring up on him and it's causing him to alter how he throws a football, or you can't call plays like you normally would with Jaren Hall, then I have a certain level of concern there.
You bring up one bit of interest, and that is...
Glad I got one.
Well, no, you bring up some. So... One point that you made that might be an influence: if I don't have Baylor on the sideline, then I don't feel as comfortable calling those plays because I can't put Jaren Hall in harm's way. If I don't have Baylor Romney to come on the field right now against Baylor, and my second option is Conover, then I'm just not as aggressive. You're right. If you got Baylor, it's like, no, we just go play him, and we play him, and we'll call the game where we're going to call the game. And then, if he says he's healthy, we have to put him out there the way we're going to put him out there. But if you don't have Baylor and you're looking at Conover, maybe in the back of your mind is like, yeah, we probably won't win this game if Conover's on the field. So we don't want to put Jaren in harm's way. Not that they ever want to put Jaren in harm's way. I get it. You want to call plays and you want to have blocked up plays that leave Jaren healthy and upright, but you definitely don't want him being as wild if you don't have Baylor Romney to run on the field in his absence. For sure. That would cause me a little bit of hesitation. But I do believe that against Baylor, in what we saw in multiple throws that were past 15 yards, I do believe Jaren Hall's ready. The other thing, and maybe Hatch, maybe you know this, is this was this Boise State game the first time we saw Jaren Hall over 300 yards passing?
This season, yes.
In his career?
I'm bad. Career-wise, I would guess that's the case, but I do not know his stats going back to 2019.
I want to say that this is Jaren Hall's biggest passing output was against Boise State. Now, that has a lot to do with the guys around him, but he dialed up Gunnar Romney four times, Puka Nacua four times, Neil Powell four times, Dallin Holker three times, and Samson Nacua. You got Algier with a couple of drop-offs, and you got Rex with a couple of drop-offs, but I don't think Jaren Hall has a 300-yard game. So the reason I needed to bring this up, Scotty, yesterday I talked about, because it wasn't the highest completion that we've seen from Jaren Hall. He was 22 of 37. It wasn't the highest completion. And we did see a drive at the beginning of the second half that for one reason or the other sticks in my mind, as you talked about, whether he was re-aggravated, a little worn out, the rain, whatever the case was, that the throws weren't as sharp as we've seen from Jaren. But I saw enough at the beginning parts of this Boise State game, and I did not see a complete re-aggravation, that I believe he's had time, more treatment, more ability to warm up those ribs, and I would expect even a more healthy Jaren against Baylor than what we saw against Boise State, which leaves you a little bit more capable to do things. It might limit you with a couple of things, but I expect to see a very good Jaren out there.
Your overall concern level with Jaren is somewhat minimal going into this game.
Pretty minimal.
Okay.
Yeah, not a high level right now. I feel pretty good saying, believing, unless something happens, you know, between now and game time, believing that Jaren is gonna look good. He's gonna look like the Jaren Hall we expect. I mean, that's the way I feel just watching that Boise State game.
Well, you do have an extra week to heal up. I don't think he took some shots in that Boise State game, but it didn't look like he came out worse for wear because of it.
Not to me.
So, I mean, I'll take that, and that extra week can certainly do a lot of good things. I just want to see Jaren Hall do what we all know Jaren Hall can do when he's not limited due to injuries. And I mean, you can shoot up that those ribs to the best of your ability, but come fourth quarter, and DJ just texted me a line. Steve Young used to always joke about, you knew when you could pick on guys in the fourth quarter because that's when the painkillers start to wear off. And so I worry about down the stretch in a game. Is he going to be able to perform like we expect Jaren Hall to perform? And if he can, that's great. And I think they'll be right there with Baylor.
I also think that Jaren Hall is pure tough guy.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
He's pure tough guy.
100%.
And that's a great quality for him to have. It can also be a damaging quality because he will put his body out there. But
well, how many times did you tell a coach? He's like, how are you feeling? You're like, I don't know, coach, man. This is bothering me. This is bothering me. I can't do this very well. You never did that.
Uh-uh.
And most guys don't do that.
Mm. Some do. Some kids nowadays are a lot more apt to do that.
And I think there's some guys that actually are mature enough to realize I'm hurting my team, especially a quarterback. Like Logan Bonner against Air Force. Threw an interception, went back and said, I have no torque on the ball right now. I can't put anything on it. Told Blake Anderson that. They went with Andrew Peasley the rest of the way, and Peasley won him the game. He's like, and he said, look, I can't, I want nothing more to be out there, but I am hurting the team. And I respect that when guys are actually have the wherewithal to go out there and say, I'm hurting us by being out there, so you need to make a change. But a lot of guys don't do that, and I don't think Jaren Hall's capable of doing that. And I'm not. And that's not a knock on Jaren Hall. I respect the hell out of it.
Yeah, I.
But I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend.
I would agree with that. Just a couple more observations that I had with Baylor and their current situation. So, I talked about yesterday during the preview show, I talked about Baylor being the number 16 team in the country in rushing yards, Scotty.
Yeah.
Basically 230 yards a game. Number 16 in the country and being able to rush the ball.
After a year ago when they were 2.3 yards a carry.
So I had to go back through individual games because what I did going into the preview show yesterday is I watched Baylor, West Virginia, or I watched a quarter and a half. I'm not going to act like I watched the whole game. I watched a quarter and a half. Baylor did whatever they wanted against West Virginia. Whatever they wanted. They ran it when they wanted. They threw it when they wanted. I think they had 180 yards rushing and 350 yards passing. It was just did whatever they wanted. I need to spend a little bit more time with a couple of their better opponents because going against Oklahoma State, and I get it, Oklahoma State is one of the best teams in the country, but going against Oklahoma State, they weren't able to do whatever they wanted to do. Oklahoma State stopped them in a lot of different areas. And I've talked about Baylor being one of the top teams in the country, number 13 team in the country in protecting their quarterback, not allowing sacks. Oklahoma State got to him three times. And Oklahoma State, who's a good team, actually roughed him up a little bit. Got in the backfield a little bit. So, you know, I look at they played Texas State, Texas Southern, and Kansas to start the season. And they put up 66 points on Texas Southern and 45 points on Kansas. Texas State was kind of tough for them. It was 29-20 against Texas State to start the season. But they still got some good rushing yards against Texas State. They got good rushing yards against West Virginia. Well, the two really good teams they've played, Iowa State, they beat them 31-29. Oklahoma State beat them 24-14. I think the sample size of taking teams that are more comparable to BYU and looking at stats and numbers, then you're looking at Iowa State and Oklahoma State, or I guess even Texas State, but you're looking at Iowa State and Oklahoma State, and you're saying BYU's more in that category. They're not a West Virginia. They're not a Kansas.
West Virginia's down this year.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
And so, you know, coming out of what I was watching, Jaren Hall hitting some downfield passes in the first half of that game against Boise State, feeling more comfortable about that. Being able to control your destiny with how many fumbles you give up, making sure you don't give a fumble.
Yeah.
I felt more confident about BYU's ability to get a win against Baylor this morning when I was going over film. I'm not ready to change my prediction, and I'm not going to. I'm standing with the – I believe I gave you a 24-17.
Yes.
I'm standing with the –
I thought it was 44-17.
Stop it. No, don't get me in trouble.
Wow, blowout, huh?
No, don't get me in trouble, either one of you. You know that's not where I was. I'm not going to change my prediction, but coming out of what I was working with this morning, I did feel more comfortable with BYU's ability to be in this game.
Hans and Scotty live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Come by, hang out with us, about 4550 South State Street. 0% up to 60 months on all new Infinities. They've got a great used inventory. Love hanging out here. This great crew down here ready to help you out with whatever you need. These QX80s, they are in stock. So if you're looking for that 80, now's the time to come down and take advantage of it, especially near the end of the year for tax purposes. You come by, pick up yourself one of those, and you are good to go. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in former BYU wide receiver Dylan Colley.
Do you find Baylor to be a little bit of a mystery?
It is definitely a mystery, and that's only because of their new offensive coordinator. Who's the one that's actually calling the plays? Depending on how many times they fake the jet sweep, you'll have a pretty good idea of who's calling the plays.
So you're saying Grimes likes to fake the jet sweep a lot?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you were able to watch 2018, but I probably faked the jet sweep about 1,500 times.
Well, you got yourself in shape then.
Oh, I was in shape. Sideline to sideline.
Hey, they had to respect your speed.
No question.
What did it say about you? I think it said good things about you.
Let me tell you, it was a tough one. When I did get it, though, it worked out.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
10:32, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Johnny's got the prize table all loaded up. You want to grab some gear, come on by, say hi, and let's go. Let's get you squared away.
Come on and see this beautiful showroom.
Only Infinity dealership in the entire state of Utah.
It's stunning.
It really is.
Hey, you heard that from cut from Kalani. We're going to get into some Utah Jazz stuff here, but you heard that cut from Kalani saying, well, he hasn't thrown an interception yet. I'm hoping that he's jinxing Gary Bohannon like that BYU football team with the fumbles got jinxed last week against Boise State. Because remember going into that game, BYU had not had a fumble. And everybody was like, wow, five games, no fumbles. And then it was like everybody was just handing the ball over. Just here, take it. So we need to continue to report Gary Bohannon. Without an interception this year, his touchdown to interception ratio 11-0.
I don't really see him throw an interception the rest of the season.
There is not a chance.
There's no way
Gary Bohannon goes out against this BYU defense and throws a pick because he hasn't done it yet this year through six games. Why would he throw one now? He just wouldn't. So don't count on it. Don't expect it. I don't. Let's see. I just want to make sure that's right. Let me see. Yep, that is correct. Holy cow. Four touchdown passes against West Virginia, three against Texas Southern, two against Kansas, two against Iowa State. Texas State held him scoreless through the air. But... That just goes to show that he probably won't throw one this weekend either.
No, I don't see it in the cards.
Nothing you could count on.
I just don't see that happening at all.
Hey, how much fun did you have watching that Jazz game last night?
Are we all on the Jared Butler hype wagon now?
Yeah. I'm getting there.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to feel like he's a contributor.
So who sacrifices minutes for him? Is the question. Like, I'm with you. But to get minutes, somebody has to lose minutes. And who's losing minutes? Is it Royce? I mean, he's essentially going to be your 9th, 10th guy. Traditionally, Quinn Snyder doesn't usually go to 10 guys in his rotation.
Well, the problem is my eyes, when it comes to basketball, specifically preseason basketball, my eyes do what I think a lot of people do in the world of football, which is follow the ball and only catch the offensive side of things. And I don't know if it's the offensive side of things that are going to keep Butler on the court. I think it's going to be what he does away from the ball and what he does defensively. And so when I watch him, he's just all entertaining, and he's just constant hustle. If there's a 50-50 ball, he's after it. You saw it last night. He's after it. When he takes a shot, he'll follow it up. He's a hustle guy. But what I have a really tough time doing is forcing my eyes away to see, all right, well, who's he trailing and how's he trailing them? You know, is he responsible for Grayson Allen? Grayson Allen had some outside looks, and who's he responsible for? How well is he doing covering his obligations in those areas? I think that those are the things that would keep him off the court. My question to you is, I don't know where the minutes come from, but how do you keep a guy like that off the court from what we've seen in the time in the preseason? I know it's preseason, but how do you keep a guy like that? Because it feels like he's got a tremendous amount of upside, growth, and ability.
So my thought is, look, he's not a G League guy. He's too good for that. Although part of me would like to give him a lot of opportunities to be successful, so it wouldn't surprise me if there's some moments down there just to get playing time, because if he's on the Jazz roster, I just don't think you work him in to your rotation yet. But, boy, there's enough there that you feel pretty good about the trajectory he's on. And we may not see it year one, but it's coming.
It's coming.
I mean, if the health issues aren't a problem, which – he had doctors sign off on him and say he's going to be fine with the heart, then let's go.
He's got a high level of confidence on the court.
Yeah. But
it's his home, and he felt comfortable from the perimeter last night. Well, at least the shots that I watched him take, he felt comfortable from the perimeter. That's the other thing is, can he adapt to the NBA 3? And how quick can he adapt to the NBA 3? And, you know, I think to a degree, we're starting to see a bit of that. Last night, he was only 2 of 6, but we're starting to see a bit of that. At least he looks really comfortable out there, very willing to take the shot.
Well, and the other element to that, too, is that the NBA, or the college basketball, when it extended its three-point line 2 or 3 years ago, I think has gotten guys a little bit more apt to be able to shoot the NBA three. So I'm not overly concerned about that. I mean, he was 2 of 6 last night, but 7 of 12. We had the 16 points, led the rally there to come back and win that game. And there's a lot to be really excited about.
I like his
about.
Confidence.
You know, you got 16 from him and Clarkson with 18, but you can't – that confidence that you're talking about is really, really fun to watch.
Yeah. The other guy that I was really happy to see coming around and coming along a little bit was Hassan Whiteside, because he's caught me as being more entertaining, more interesting. I'm talking about away from the court. Entertaining, interesting. I think that there are a lot of aspects that this community is going to surround and love Whiteside. And last night, I saw a couple of things, finishing at the rim, hustles to the hustle to a rebound. I saw some things that made me feel like, because you asked the question yesterday, I can't remember who we were talking to, can the combination of Whiteside and Ezebuki fill in for the loss of Favors? I'm starting to feel like that question is answered more. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to hold out on that. I'm going to, you know, that's one that I think you're going to need 2 or 3 weeks into the season, maybe even a month, to really get a full grasp on, because you're not going to replace Rudy Gobert out there. It's not about replacing Rudy Gobert. It's about replacing Derek Favors.
Yep.
So when Rudy's off the court, can you get the same, whether it's through one of those guys or an aggregate between the two of them, are you able to mimic Derek Favors and what he brought? And look, Derek had some issues last year, but he still was. And I think some of the issues that Derek Favors dealt with is because, and Derek's really good, but such a huge drop-off from Rudy to Derek. And you saw so many times last year when Rudy would leave the court and guys would be like, all right, Derek's out there, bam, let's go after him. Mm-hmm. And teams had some success, and they're going to have some success again.
Yeah, they will.
Because Rudy's such a dominant force, it makes anybody who's coming in for him look really pedestrian. And it's no fault of their own. It's just the fact that Rudy is a top 10 player in the league.
Speaking of Rudy Gobert, he had a jumper, and yesterday Twitter blew up off the jumper. I really do want to get to a point in our life where we don't even acknowledge the fact that Rudy took a jumper. I would love that. No, I'm not saying take shots away from anybody, but I'm saying if that ball rotates to you on the elbow, don't be afraid to hoist it. Just put it up, man. Smooth, release, comfortable. It looked good.
It's just so many better options than Rudy shooting a jumper.
There are, but if nobody's coming out to you, and which nobody did. He's just standing there, and he's got the ball, and he's looking at the rim, and he's like, nobody's – okay, so nobody's going to close? All right, well, just a nice, soft touch.
Yeah.
Didn't touch any rim. If nobody's going to close, then take the shot. Take the look.
Or if nobody's at you, then take it to the rim.
And exactly. And I'm not saying that I want to see it on the perimeter. I'm saying in short distances. That's one of my favorite. I loved watching Marc Gasol. I liked watching his offensive game because he took what everybody gave him, and he was capable enough at any given night as a big to hit the shot that was given to him, which really forced bigs and defenders to scramble when Marc Gasol had the ball in his hand, which then led to him becoming an amazing passer. Because it closed out, it gave other people lanes, they saw people close, people would you know, run to the rim, and he became so adept at getting it to those guys. I'm not saying Rudy take a shot every night. I'm not saying Rudy always take the shot. I'm just saying if it's there, it makes a bit of difference.
I just don't think that's a priority for Rudy and a priority for the Jazz.
But I think he's worked on it.
Oh, of course. I mean, look, if it was up to Rudy, he'd be cranking threes.
I think it was a priority for Rudy to work on it. I don't think it's a priority for him to take the shot. I think it was a priority for him to work on it.
I mean, you see Rudy, he's working on threes. I mean, Rudy wants to be your baseline three guy. I mean, if it's up to Rudy, he'd be doing all kinds of different things. I don't see that being in the cards for him, especially fourth quarter of a big game and somebody slags off him a little bit. Take it to the hole and try to get to the free throw line.
Yeah, you could do that too. Yeah. But last night watching Giannis Antetokounmpo makes you realize how offensively limited Rudy is.
Speaking of somebody who can who's starting to work on his jumper.
Yeah. He's just outside knocking down threes, two or three. And really anywhere he was taking the jumper, he was knocking it down. He's 9 of 12 on the night for 21 points. Giannis will be a problem again and forever. Yeah, I know people gave me a bunch of crap. I think it was last year or maybe the year before. I was just watching a preseason game, and I tweeted out, this guy's going to be a real problem. Everybody's like, well, he's an MVP, blah, blah, blah. I get it. It's just every time you watch him, in your mind, you're thinking, this guy's going to be a real problem. He is a real issue.
It's time to blow up Twitter. Let's get rid of it.
Oh, I know, man. I'm just trying to have a little fun. I'm like, yeah, this guy is a real problem. Oh, well, he is an MVP. Okay. And he's also going to be a problem.
He's also a problem. And last night, in watching his game, it seems like he's fine-tuned a few more things.
He does. And he looks so good. But Utah Jazz get a 124-120 victory in their final preseason game. We are T-minus 6 days away from a tip-off against Oklahoma State.
Fired up.
Sorry, Oklahoma City.
Yep. Mike Gundy and the Cowboys coming in.
Because he's a man.
He's a man. I'm 40. I'm in the NBA.
How long has he been there? He's been there forever.
Yeah, because that was, I think, 10, 11 years ago?
Yeah, because he's a man. He's 60. 50. Oh, is he 50 now?
I don't. You know what? Let's find out.
Because he was 40 at the time, right? Was it 40? I'm 40.
I almost said Ted Bundy. No, it's Mike Gundy. Sorry. It's a different guy.
Ted Bundy. Is that the guy from Married with Children?
No, that's Happy Monday, Bundy. See him.
Oh, that's the murderer.
Mike Gundy is now 54. He's a man. I'm in my mid-50s.
It's crazy that he's opening up against the Jazz.
You know, he has a kid named Gunner? Gunner Gundy?
No.
Gavin Gundy and Gage Gundy.
Gunner Gundy.
Gunner Gundy.
Did he go all three G's?
Yeah. Gunner Gundy, Gavin Gundy, Gage Gundy.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just dumbty. What are you doing?
Hey, you know one of the crazy things about this whole situation that we've seen go on with Gruden is getting to know Gruden's son. And I didn't know that Gruden had a pocket-sized powerlifting son.
I didn't know about that either.
Have you watched him?
Yeah.
He is unique, that guy. He is strong as an ox. He's a little tiny guy, but he squats over 600, benches over 400, and he's just a little tiny guy.
A little dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was Maurice Jones-Drew? Remember his nickname?
Pocket
Hercules.
Hercules, yes. Yeah, this guy's Pocket Schwarzenegger.
All right, 10:46, what you may have missed coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Aggies, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. After a bye week, the Aggies look to keep their Mountain West Conference championship hopes alive as they head south to Las Vegas for a battle against the Rebels of UNLV. Hear all the play-by-play action beginning with the Aggie pregame show Saturday at 4. From Monday morning to all the play-by-play action, nobody brings you better coverage of Aggie football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed right here on The Zone.
Let me just take a look in this bag. Ooh, what's this? Oh.
Oh, yeah, that is a Built Bar.
That is a Built Bar.
What do you, is that a puff?
This is the White Chocolate Coconut Deluxe.
Whoa, where have you been sitting on that one?
White Chocolate Coconut Deluxe.
I have not seen this one before.
Where are you getting these from?
Oh, I know where. So Jake, I know you've been.
Never you mind, Jake.
You've been knocking back the Built Bars for years now.
I've had all of their white chocolates. I don't think I've had this one, honestly, though.
So when we're on remote, let's just say there's a wall.
I've seen the picture, yes.
The wall is real, and it is fantastic.
But then just past the wall is the kitchen observation deck.
Yep.
And sometimes Scotty and I get taken to the kitchen observation deck. Away, well away from anything.
Oh, yeah.
It's all plexiglass.
Yeah, you're not. Hans and I aren't breathing.
No.
They don't want any of our contaminants getting on in that room.
In fact, we can confirm that it is high-level security
yes.
to get into the kitchen because I've tried.
We had to have Nick give us a little bit of a tour, and there was an eye scanner and all kinds of stuff.
It looked like, you know, in that part in Terminator 2 when they had to turn the keys at the exact same
time. Yep.
It looked like they were trying to get back for that robot arm. That's how tight that stuff is there.
But those are the kind of flavors you can get at Built.com. Use the promo code ZONE, whether it's the Puffs. They have the Built Balls now where you get that's just a perfect amount of protein to get you through your day. But the Built Bars, 100% real chocolate. Only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 3 or 4 net carbs, depending on what you go with. It is a no-brainer. Go to Built.com. Promo code ZONE gets you 10% off.
Well, Scotty, we got some really good news yesterday, and we didn't really expound on it very much. And I'd like to take just a minute and talk maybe a little bit more in depth about it. You did mention it yesterday as breaking news. I think it came down around 11 o'clock or so. And you had mentioned that the man accused of shooting and killing University of Utah football player Aaron Lowe had been charged with aggravated murder. And there are reports in the Tribune that go into depth. I will not go into depth, but there are some different details that have been revealed by Palmel, the woman that was also shot,
yeah,
where she was not able to talk because she was shot in the neck and chest. But she was able to communicate with police with her cell phone, and she was able to type things into her cell phone and talked about how it all started because there were a group of men that would not move and they were trying to move their car. And that's where things started. She also said that there were a bunch of shots fired and that the shooter came back to, quote, finish them off. So she's able to type things, and I can't tell you how valuable that is going to be in the ultimate conviction of this current suspect, book in book. The other thing that was interesting in this information is that the death penalty is on the table. There's life sentence or death penalty that is on the table
yeah.
here in the state of Utah. So, and one other bit of information, there was video that was confiscated from that evening as well, which will help put the pieces together. So you have a key witness, you've got video, you've got a suspect that is held without bond, and you've got now the charges. And outside of aggravated murder, there were a bunch of other charges that were dropped. And we know what the potential sentences
dropped are. Upon him, not dropped as in going away.
Dropped upon him,
yeah.
Yes.
And Let's see, aggravated murder, first-degree felony, possession of a gun by a restricted person, obstructing of justice. Those are both second-degree felonies.
So those are all the other charges that were that were filed against him. So I kind of feel like they have everything lined up in front of them to, and you hope, because we have seen crazier things in the world of convictions, Scotty.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen evidence upon evidence, and we've seen trials fall apart. And you just hope that there can be a quick conclusion to this. But from where I stand, trying to put myself in the shoes of those coaches and the shoes of the family members and the shoes of the players, I am taking a deep sigh of relief. Now, I think that there might be others out there that need to be looked at for charges.
Sounds like there were a group of people there for sure.
Right. And we'll see who knew what and who was involved with what. And that might be a little bit on my mind as a player or a coach or a family member. But looking at it from the angle I look at it, I feel like I can put my cleats on and know that justice is on its way.
Yeah.
And feel like there's going to be a conclusion to this. And that's a good feeling. From all standpoints, that's a good feeling. that there's going to be a conclusion to this.
Hopefully, and I got a sneaking suspicion just because of the high-profile nature of this, it will be it'll be a high priority. I think this thing's going to move along pretty quick in terms of trial, in terms of getting a resolution to this, and you hope that the evidence is such so significant that this is a slam dunk.
Sure seems like it is, though, doesn't it?
Seems like it's heading that direction.
And the piece that I read in the Tribune was very detailed and very well put together. And you really do hope that you hope that ultimate justice is received. That's what I hope. And that the evidence will show, will point directly to who all was involved and who obviously was directly involved with the murder.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We're out and about today. We are at Tim Daly Infinity. Beautiful vehicles. We're talking the, look, you look at whatever vehicle you want here, Hans, you're going to get 0% financing. So every new Infinity here, 0% financing. You also have...
That's free cash.
That's free cash, homie. QX80... the over 9 models of those are here and they are ready to go in stock. Everything here comes with a forever warranty on new and used models, and they've got 500 used vehicles to choose from. So a huge selection of used. So again, I say this all the time. You look at Infiniti like, man, I'd love to drive an Infiniti. My life would be so much better. My kids would respect me. My employer would respect me. My wife would love me a little bit more. If I drove an Infiniti, those are all true statements, by the way. And you're thinking, but I just can't afford it. I don't know if I can get in one. Well, you got used, you got 0%, you've got lease options. There's no reason why you shouldn't come down here and at least get some information and see if one of these things can work for you. It'll change your life. Trust me on that. Driving an Infiniti isn't just it's not just driving. It's an experience.
It's a full experience.
Yes.
And it says a little bit about you.
Yep. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.